I wonder if you might pray with me and for me this morning. Oh, gracious God. Last week we heard about your call to feed those who are hungry. And this week we're thinking about people who may not get those resources that they need. And God, I pray that we would be the church. God, that we would respond, that we would connect with our local food pantries, and that we would give in abundance. Because, God, we have the power to end hunger. God, we have the power to walk with those who are unhoused and end homelessness. God, let us be the church. And we pray for the government that they might work together so that we can move forward. God, we also live in the reality of devastation that hit Jamaica and Cuba. And God, we pray for families who have lost loved ones, that have lost their homes, that have had destruction. And we thank you for organizations like the United Methodist Committee on Relief. Let us be generous people, God, that respond. And God, as we continue talking today about taking steps in our faith, about growing closer and closer to you, God, I pray that in some miraculous way you might speak through me this morning, that you might compel us to love you more and to love others more. God, that somehow you might open our ears to hear what you want us to hear, open our minds to understand, open our hearts to be willing to be transformed. Come, Holy Spirit, do what you do, and let me get out of the way. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I said at 9 o'clock this morning, I'm going to start with something that's a little controversial this morning. I have already offended many people simply by what I'm wearing. And I had people tell me, I had people come in and say, of course you're wearing that today. And I want to tell you, I wrote this message before I realized that our football team at UVA would be 8-1 right now. I wrote this message before that. And let me tell you, I had no belief or understanding that that could ever happen. I have been a UVA football fan for many, many years. And trust me, friends, this is not a problem we've had before. So I don't come today to gloat. I come today to celebrate. And for those of you whose teams are not doing that well, understand that there's something weird in the universe with football this year because UVA has a winning record. I mean, really. Now, basketball, I've been a UVA basketball fan for a long time. I was a UVA basketball fan back in the days. I slept out for 5 nights when I was in college to go to the UVA Duke game, which we won, by the way. And I sat on the floor. Now, you may say, Tim, weren't you at school to learn? I was, but I slept in a tent because sitting on the floor for that game was really important. And even in all of that, even in loving the game, I still never got that excited about our coaches until a new coach arrived to UVA basketball. You may have heard of the name Tony Bennett. Anybody heard of that name? Not the singer, the coach, okay? Tony Bennett was a great coach of basketball. He did beautiful, beautiful things. He was also a man of deep faith. And he shared that faith, not with words, but in the way that he lived his life. I really, really admired him for the way that he talked about money, the way that he talked about financial resources. He said, and I want to quote him, "I have more than I need. I'm blessed beyond what I deserve." Now, if you hear a lot of college coaches, if you hear a lot of pro coaches, they just want more and they want more and they want more. Well, 2019, if you remember the story, was a big year for UVA basketball. Now, I'm not going to take you to 2018, where we lost in round one as a one seed to UMBC. I'm going to take you to 2019. And it was this beautiful story where this team that, yes, were ranked high, a lot of people didn't have faith in. In fact, we almost lost the first play-in game again. But we won. And Tony Bennett, who's one of the most humble people ever, said this. He said, "I know I'm a little biased, but I think it's one of the greatest sports stories ever told." And for those of us who have been holding on for years and years and years, that is very, very true. And after that game, after all that happened, Carla Williams, the athletic director at UVA, along with the president's blessing, went to Tony Bennett and said, "We want to give you a really big raise." That's a good day, right? When somebody comes and says, "We want to give you a really big raise." And he didn't accept the raise right when they gave it to him. He said, "I want to go home and I want to talk to my wife." I want to have a conversation. And he said to them, instead of taking the raise, I want to invite you to give all that to the other coaches. And I want to invite you to invest more in the players. He said, and I quote, Laurel and I are in a great spot. And in the past, I've had increases in my contract. Bennett said, we just feel a great peace about where we're at, all that's taken place, and how we feel about this athletic department and this community and this school. I have more than enough. And if there are ways that this can help out the athletic department, the other programs, and the coaches, that's my desire. And then he turned around and he gave $500,000 towards a career development program that's been launched for former and current UVA players. I mean, that is generosity. That is generous. And none of this did he do to up his name. None of this did he do to make himself sound better. None of this. He is simply living out his faith and being a generous person. For the last 3 weeks, you guys have been in the series. Usually I say we've been in the series. This is my first time. For the last few weeks, you've been in this series called Taking Steps, where we're looking at this concept of how do we grow in our faith? How do we grow closer to God? How do we connect with the holy? How do we do this? And I don't know about you, but my experience in faith has never been like this. We're like, yesterday I was a little, and today I'm a lot more, and tomorrow I'll be a lot more. My faith has been like this, like all over the place. And never at a place for me where I didn't believe in God, but certainly in my connection to God. And my belief in the power of God. So the first week, my friend Jonathan was here, and he was sharing about worship and how it's not just about coming to worship on Sundays. How do we live a life of worship? And the second week, Pastor Marcella talked about how we grow in our faith and pay attention to our faith and are intentional about growing in connection with other people. Last week, there was a panel here of people talking about how serving others has impacted their faith. And today I want to move us on to something that I think is equally important that Bennett gives us this picture of, and that's generosity. How is generosity a part of growing in our faith? How is it not just something we do, but something we do that impacts the way that we love God and the way that we love others? Now, I want to start with a premise of this concept this morning, and I think this is a really important premise, and we have to discern, do we believe this or not? And that premise that I want to start with is that God is a generous God. God is a God of abundance. And we really have leaned into this over the last couple of years here. Is God a God of scarcity or is God a God of abundance? Because if God is a God of scarcity, then we're not going to share about God because there's only enough for us. If God is a God of scarcity, then we actually don't believe that God can bring healing in our lives. If God is a God of scarcity, then we believe the current reality in our government is the only reality that can ever be. But if God is a God of abundance, we believe that God is bigger than all of those things. We believe that God has the power to heal. We believe that God is a God of incredible love, and we should share that with other people. So I want to begin with that premise today, that God is a God that is incredibly generous. That God is a God of incredible abundance. And I think that's really important because there have been tons of studies that talk about generosity, and I've found it to be true in my life. Generosity actually alters our physical and our emotional health. Did you know that? The more generous you are, it alters your health. It reduces stress. It reduces anxiety. It leads to longer life. Tell that to your financial planner, right? Actually, being more generous transforms you. I think there is something in us that when we watch our generosity change someone else's life, it feels good. It does something in you and in me. It is transformative for us. Studies have shown that for a long time. And this idea of generosity is not new. It's not something that came with the church. I mean, this goes all the way back to the beginning of creation. God in creation is a generous God of abundance. God in creation creates in a way that humanity can experience that. I'm going to fast forward you a little bit from creation, and I'm going to take you to the time of a prophet named Malachi. He shows up in the Old Testament. I'm going to give you a little context on Malachi. He is there. He's a prophet, which means he talks on behalf of God to the people. He'll go to the people and he'll say, hey, I think you need to change this. I think you need to work on this. I think you need to fix this. Now, the time period that he's in, and that he's speaking to the people where we're going to look at today, is about 100 years after the people have returned back to the land. They had the Babylonian exile. They were sent out, and during the Babylonian exile, they destroyed their land. They destroyed all their buildings. They destroyed all their homes. And the people come back, and when they get back, they beg God to come home. They beg God to have this freedom to come home. And they get back, and the land is desolate. And over the next 100 years, they rebuild. And they finally get to the point of rebuilding this temple. And as soon as they do, and they're all happy that things have been rebuilt and the land seems to be coming back, they do what humanity does best. They forget. And they start whining. And they start complaining. You know, two of my kids are here, so don't look at them right now. They're over here. And they don't do this now. They did it when they were little. But my favorite thing my kids used to do when they were little were incredible promises. Anybody else's kids do that? If you get me this, I will make my bed forever. I promise you, if you let me go out tonight, I will study all night long next week. And that usually lasts about 10 minutes. And as parents, we want to be hopeful and believe it might be true. And we get disappointed on the other side when they don't. When we walk in the room day two and the bed is not made. Why, God? Why did you let me have this child? But here's the truth. That's not kids. That's all of humanity. We all do that. I mean, how many times have you made God a promise? Seriously. How many times have you made God a promise? I used to do it. I remember when I would lose something. God, I promise you, if you help me find this thing, I'm going to pray every morning. I prayed that morning when I was looking for the thing. And I think that's what's happened with the people in this scenario. They begged God to come back to the land. God, just let us go back home. And they get back home, and they're able to rebuild, and they have this life of abundance again, and yet they forget. So I want to look at Malachi chapter 3, verses 6 to 10 this morning. It says, "For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, have not perished. Ever since the days of your ancestors, you've turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Will anyone rob God? Yet you're robbing me. But you say, how are we robbing you? In your tithes and offerings? You are cursed with a curse, for you're robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house, and thus put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. See if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you an overflowing blessing." Now this passage, as the prophet Malachi is sharing it, is powerful. It starts off with, "I, the Lord, do not change." Amen? That is a word of hope. Only one person. Okay, I'm glad. I, the Lord, do not change. Amen? Amen? Okay, good. At least you make me feel better, right? I, the Lord, do not change. God is giving the promise to the people again. I will be with you. I will walk with you. I will stay with you. For I, the Lord, your God, do not change. And God says to the people, you're struggling. And they say, well, how shall we return? How shall we get back? And God says, let me give you an example. God says, one way that you're turning away from me is that you're not being generous. No, God doesn't actually say that. God takes it a step further and says, you're robbing me. And the people are shocked by that. God, how in the world are we robbing you? Now, interestingly, I think this links to the text that was shared last week. If you were here, it was the text where Jesus says to the people, when I was hungry, you gave me nothing to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. And they said, Lord, when did that happen? And Jesus said, when you didn't feed the least of these, when you didn't give something, housing to drink to the least of these. And I think that's what's happening in this moment. Because listen, God doesn't need our money. God's not trying to build some big castle in heaven. God doesn't need that resource, but what God knows is that the people are robbing the abundance. They're not giving for those that are hungry. They're not giving for the needs, and they simply don't get it. I mean, look at the next line. He says in verse 10, it says, bring the full tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. Are we there again? People are hungry. People need food so that there may be food in my house, and thus put me to the test. says the Lord of hosts, see if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you an overflowing blessing. And he uses that word, and we talk about that word in the church sometimes, bring your full tithe. He used that as 10%. Bring that. And that will bless others. That will be important. And then he uses a word in there. And I got to tell you, I had to study this word and look at it real hard. He says, bring it to me and test me. Not often does God use that language, test me. And I read it and I'm like, well, what is God saying here? And if you read it within the context, if you look at the original language, it's more a promise than a test, where God says, bring your generosity and I promise you, you will receive blessing. Bring it to me and I promise you, you will experience abundance. Bring it to me and I promise you, things will happen. Now, there will be some churches that would preach this text, I'm telling you, and they will say, look, if you're generous, God, you'll go into work tomorrow and God will give you a raise. Most of you will not go to work tomorrow and get a raise. I'm just going to tell you. It's just not going to happen. I don't think that's what God means in this text. I think the abundance and the blessing comes from us being able to observe and experience how the generosity is changing people's lives. I think the abundance and the blessing doesn't come because God says we're better than other people, but what God knows is that generosity is good for the soul. It is good for us. It is transformative to us that we are open to receive the blessing. It's not like God opens the heaven over your house and fixes things. Guess what? If it rains on my neighbor's house tomorrow, it's going to rain on my house too. And the question is, how do I experience that rain with the God of abundance? The God who brings blessings. And might we experience it? So there's some ways to think about this. There are ways, some ways to do it. And I want to give you this context. First, John Wesley, the founder of United Methodism, of this thing, this denomination that we're in, he wasn't trying to found a denomination. He was just trying to live faithfully and follow Jesus. And he used to say this. He would say, make all you can, save all you can, and give all you can. Now, I've talked to people before who they say, yeah, God doesn't really like you to make a lot of money. That's simply not true. Jesus wants us to receive all that so that we can be even more generous. So that we can save for our family. Jesus never says money is bad. He says the love of money is bad. When you allow money to control you, that's the bad part. Being generous, being able to provide for your family, being able to save, that is good. And you know, a lot of us make real plans for wealth, how we want to make money. What would it look like if we made equal plans for generosity? How we wanted to give it. Generosity doesn't happen by accident. My experience in my life is, if I give whatever's left, I give whatever's left. If I am intentional with it, I'll be much more generous. My wife and I, when we first got married, and I've shared this story with some of you before, we were making nothing. And my wife looked at me and she said, we're going to tithe to the church. And in not my finest moment, I looked at her and I said, you don't even understand finances. That did not go over well, let me tell you. But she was right, because when we did it with a little, we were able to do it as we gained more. We were able to be more generous people. And I still say one of my favorite times of the year is when I think about how our generosity has done something. And listen, I know what happens when we get abundance. Sometimes my first instinct when some sort of abundance comes in is to do what I love from Parks and Recreation, treat yourself. Anybody else like to treat yourself when something good comes in? You're like, yeah, treat yourself. The problem, and treat yourself is not bad. The problem is when treat yourself is all you do. When you wake up every day and you say, I'm going to treat yourself. Look, my kids love it when I treat themselves. Right? When they come in and they say, oh, Dad, can we get this? Treat yourself. Right? And sometimes I reply to them when they say, Dad, will you give us some? I say, you treat yourself. Right? You got money. You treat yourself. And treat yourself is not bad. But friends, we are not designed to only treat ourselves. We are designed to be in community and treat others. And we have to be intentional about it. We have to be intentional about making that happen. Here's the second thing. And I think this is even bigger than the first. God doesn't want something from you. God wants something for you. God doesn't need your money. God doesn't need your financial resources. God isn't sitting there going, how do I make my bank account bigger? But God knows that when we are more generous, we get more life out of it. God knows that we need abundance in our lives. And when we have a mentality of abundance, we are more abundant. We are more generous. We experience beautiful, beautiful, beautiful things, when we hold on to our resources instead of sharing them with the world, we become people of scarcity. And scarcity does not breed abundance. It breeds fear. It breeds selfishness. It does not breed abundance. So God wants not something from you. God wants something for you. And here's the third point and the final point. And this might be a little cheesy, but I want you to hold on to it. The heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. This should not be something someone tells you to do. This should be a transformation of your heart. Being generous is a transformation of our heart. It's a transformation of who we are. You know, I talk to other friends, and sometimes they will ask us in a roundabout way, do you guys really give to your church? We say, we really do. Well, why do you do it? I mean, because you could invest all that. You got 3 kids in college, not yet, but soon. Why do you do it? I love what this church does to transform the world. I love seeing the impact that it makes on the world. Jesus said, for where your treasure is, there your heart may be also. That generosity is a condition of your heart, something that's going on inside. I don't think it means that we're better people when we're more generous. I don't think it means that God's going to bless us more with new cars and new houses and new raises because we're more generous. I think it means that when we're more generous, we're open to the generosity of God more. We just are. We experience that generosity of God. So every week, we've asked you to fill out a card, a commitment. It was a commitment for worship, a commitment for growing your faith, a commitment for serving. This week's not going to be any different. I'm going to invite you to fill out a card for your commitment to 2026 at your church. I'm going to invite you to think about it. You can fill it out today if you want. Ushers are going to come around a little bit. You can place those in with your connection cards and your generosity. But you can also bring it back next week if you want to go home and you really want to think about it. How do I want to be generous? How do I want that abundance to come out of me? How do I make sure I still treat myself and that I'm able to be generous and abundant? On the screen here, you're going to see a chart. And if you're part of this church, you probably got mailed this chart this week. This is called a step chart. You might say, why in the world would we do this? First of all, we want you to know that there's some really generous people in your church. There are people who are very intentional about generosity, who make real decisions about how they want to give. We also want to invite you to look at where you are on the chart and say, can I take a step? My family did that this year. Can we take a step towards more generosity, towards growing in our faith? Can we do it? And some of you say, well, I'm not on that chart. Maybe your step is to step on the chart. Maybe your step is to say, I can take the next step. I really want to encourage you to think about this. And I know there's a lot of uncertainty right now. There are people who aren't working. Nobody's ever going to hold you to this. Like, I can't believe you didn't do that. But we do want to pray for intentionality. We do want to pray for generosity. So if you're ready to fill that out today, fill it out today. Put it in the basket. If you're not, bring it back next week. But I do encourage you to do it. And I encourage you to pay attention to what you put on it. Because I think preparing for generosity is transformative for us. Again, it has been one of the greatest gifts in our marriage together, and I pray for that for you. I pray that you might consider how God is calling you to be generous in 2025, not only to your church, but beyond. There are lots of organizations this next year that are going to need resources, and we want to be able to constantly respond and bless them. So I want to offer a prayer for us right now, a prayer that we might be open to God's blessings. And then I'm going to talk about our giving time today. So God, thank you so much. Thank you for being an abundant God who loves us so much, who longs for us to have abundance in our own lives, who longs for us to experience that incredible grace that we can share with the world. God, I pray for us as we fill out these cards, that we would fill them out in a way that brings honor and glory to you, that we would celebrate our own generosity. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, we had a beautiful display of your generosity. It happened, Trunk or Treat, last Saturday. More than 600 people in our community came. Look how cute those kids are. More than 600 people came and got to experience your generosity. So for those adults and kids alike that were willing to dress up and look goofy and look crazy for the sake of people receiving joy, thank you. And thank you for your generosity that makes events like this possible. I'm going to invite the ushers. They're going to come to receive. You can give online, give in the baskets, turn in your connection cards, your other cards. But whatever you do, know how deeply God loves you as you try to be more and more generous people.